Greetings, Teho Bennett here, Razzball Basketball, it's on, it's popping. I'm with Viz, my partner in crime. We're going to break down the Lakers and Sixers game. It got a little wild, and then we're going to go through a bunch of injuries going on in the league and how that's going to affect your fantasy team. Viz, what's popping?
It's been a crazy past 4 days or so for my sports teams between I'm a Bills fan. Now they're switched quarterbacks. Absolutely insane. My buddy Reed, who does the hockey podcast with me, he was on the football pod to talk about it. I'll be on that next week to talk about how Peterman looks, but that news caught me completely off guard. The Braves are my baseball team. They hired a new GM, Anthopoulos. They're going to probably lose some of their prospects because of their previous GM's shady business. Utah is my basketball team. Gobert is out for at least a month. Just devastating the team, and probably enough that it could cost them making the playoffs. And
ouch.
It's been a crazy 4 days for sure. And I usually defer to watching some hockey. The late game tonight had no appeal to me, so I was watching this Sixers Lakers game. And my God, what a just amazing performance by Embiid and Simmons. What a game! It ended 115-109. MB with the ridiculous stat line of 46 points on 14 of 20 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3, 15 boards, 7 dimes, 7 blocks, only 2 turnovers. Just like Randall had no chance. No matter who they put on him, they had no chance. It was unreal. And, Simmons almost had a triple double. He was 1 assist short with 5 steals, too. Like, the future is so bright for this team, especially, we'll talk about Fultz injury later and Covington getting the renegotiation and extension, but fingers crossed that Embiid can stay healthy, because if he does, the sky's the limit for this team going forward.
Yeah, he is the absolute real deal, Holyfield. I watched most of the entire game, or I guess I should just say the second half. I was out at dinner, and then came back to just him just dominating Randall, who's like, what, 6'9", generously at 6'9", which just had nothing to do. I mean, it's more on the coach to me that why is Randall trying to guard this guy anyway? But the stats don't even fully signify what he really is impacting the game. I mean, he was affecting so many shots in the lane. I mean, he was just everywhere. It was a throwback to me of the glory days, of my glory days in the NBA, when it was like Shaq in his glory, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, I was going to say Hakeem kind of makes sense. The way Embiid can move, there's some Hakeem to him, at least defensively.
Oh, yeah. He's insanely impressive. Every time he hit the deck a couple times, hit on the ground. Every time he goes down, you're like, oh, my God, please tell me he didn't tear something or do something. But, yeah, he seems totally healthy. The minute restrictions seems like it's over or is done, as far as I heard.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him the occasional back-to-back off, but, I mean, he played 34 minutes in this game, and I don't think it's any real concern. I mean, he just shows you. I mean, he has best player in the league upside. There's no doubt about it. Like, if you look, 3 years down the line, guys who could be the best player in the league, you're looking at, Giannis, Porzingis, potentially the way he looks now is defensively, it's a game changer. Obviously, Embiid. I honestly think Simmons could be there too. Like, if he gets any semblance of a shot, it's game over, because he is already ridiculous. The ability he has to get to the rim, it's just amazing. The process worked. What else can I say? Because even though they whiffed on Okafor, you have two guys. Simmons, he's a star already. Like, he is just ridiculous what he can do at that size. And, Embiid, it's just fingers crossed they're healthy, let alone if Fultz can get back to what I think he can be, because he has, like, James Harden offensive potential. You just got to love this. I'm happy for Sixers fans. They've gone through it for so long. But, I mean, how blessed is J.J. Redick, right? This guy gets a 1 year, $23 million deal and gets to play with these kids, man. Like, what a dream.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to stick around there. He had a horrible game tonight, but he's loving it there, and he's fitting in. Yeah, I got 20. I guess it's hard for me to say that J.J. Redick's making 23 per, and I'm sitting over here talking to you about it. It's upsetting that J.J. Redick. But you, I shout out J.J. Redick. I love
the guy. But, I mean, and good for the Sixers, too. I mean, they had $40 million in cap space almost. They gave – or, no, they had about 50. They gave him 23. They gave Amir Johnson about 10, and then they used the leftovers to renegotiate and extend Covington. So, at least they're putting that money to good use. I mean
– Can you tell me what they're doing with Okafor? Like, why haven't they just cut him or treat? I mean, nobody will even give up a two for this guy.
No, that's what I mean. Like, if you're the Bulls, don't you just give up a second round pick. Just find out the Nets.
Just give up a
Nets,
two.
The Nets don't have a functional center. Like Mozgov, I thought he was actually going to be okay. He can't play at all. Jared Allen's been hurt. You know, they're playing Trevor Booker at center. The guy's 6'8", maybe. No, and I like Trevor Booker. He's a great glue guy, but I mean, he's not a center. He's a power forward. So. You would think somebody would give him to him or give him a second round pick, but
I guess they're going
to keep him to play him when Embiid doesn't play and gets the random off day. I don't know. It's just.
But even then, they hardly play him. I mean, I'm like, dude, Amir Johnson, who I can't stand watching. I mean, Okafor. I mean this guy
fine. I can understand that, but yeah, Amir Johnson, he's basically shot at this point.
Okafor put up. I mean, I know it was kind of like. I mean, I finally saw what people were complaining about when watching him on defense. Like, I mean, it was pretty pathetic. I haven't seen very many players play with that little effort on D. But, I mean, as a rookie, this dude averaged 17 and 7. 17 and a half and 7.
I mean, you know, his teams go away on second units. I think there's still a place in the league for these, like, I don't want to say, like, I mean, he is a bad defensive center, but they don't all have to be bad. But these slow plotting centers. They play them on the second unit. A lot of teams don't have a big guy playing center on the backup unit, and I think they could take advantage of it. You know, the Knicks are playing Cantor a lot. I think he could. You know, he's thriving when he stays out there in second units. You know, Al Jefferson was that way towards the end in Charlotte. Now, I mean, he's toast in Indiana, but that type of guy can thrive. And I think Okafor, he can carry a second unit. He can shoot, you know, 50%. Be relatively efficient. Sure, he's going to be bad on defense, but how many guys on the second unit are really going to take advantage of him? You should at least be able to carve out a, I don't know, 15-minute role, give or take. So
yeah, but he must just be not putting out any effort like to improve this in practice or something. Because like, I mean, why would he not get on the floor? Like, I mean, obviously he's a talented offensive player. Like for him to just. For them to just choose these other bums over playing this guy, and they won't even let him out of there. I mean, get him out of there. And then I've been talking to people. I'm like, damn, because I keep looking back at drafts. That's what I do every night. And I'm like, damn, they took him over Porzingis that year. Oh, I know, my God. Right?
It's crazy. Like, if they would just said, screw it, because Porzingis he didn't work out for them. Can you imagine if they just said, screw it and took him anyway, and they'd hit, like, the whole thing is not. I mean,
we'd be looking at the greatest team ever.
Whiff on a pick, but oh my god!
We'd be looking at one of the greatest nucleuses I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think Porzingis' best position is the five. But even if you play with the four, at them beat, you got two guys who can shoot the threes. They're great rim protectors, like with Simmons too, because. He would already been in the fold. It wouldn't have. Porzingis wasn't good enough as a rookie to really switch the draft position, and they would have got Simmons anyway. You know, they might not have Fultz, but at this point, we don't know what Fultz is going to be. It's crazy.
I'm concerned.
I'm concerned too. But
they said he was out there like throwing up shots with his left hand the other day. I'm like, wait, what is happening with this guy? Like, is he okay?
I think they did the best thing, though, and just shut him down. Don't let him play through it. Let him take his time, bring him back, and get back to what he could be. I mean, from the Lakers' perspective, Kuzma looks great. That was an amazing pick that late in the first. Brandon Ingram starting to show some signs. I was hesitant to believe, but he's starting to put together a decent stretch. He had 26 and 11 in this game. He's playing big minutes. The consistency's not there, but I mean, then again, he was like the youngest player in his draft class. He just turned 20 years old a couple months ago, so the potential's there. And if they want to try to get LeBron or George or someone to go there, him and Lonzo have to show signs that they can, you know, especially in LeBron's case, that they can reach superstar level potentially while LeBron is aging. And we see some signs from Ingram. We've definitely seen it from Kuzma. Man, Lonzo looks rough right now.
Yeah, that was hard for me to watch, man. I mean, he was bricking three after three. The shot somehow like just gets uglier even over time. I'm like, oh my God, this is not looking pretty for this guy. And like, obviously his confidence is shook, even though he had that triple-double just a couple games ago. But then now all of a sudden he's not getting even any run in the fourth quarters here, which is an interesting thing to do to him here, right? Well, he's dealing with this. Yeah, but yeah, he just had the triple-double. But I mean, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation because, I mean, they're not really trying to win. They don't have their pick, so you should still be trying to develop them. I mean, it's not like, what are you going to gain by playing Jordan Clarkson 31 minutes? I mean, I guess your hope is that you can boost his trade value enough to dump him to clear the cap space. But, I mean, I don't know. 21 minutes, yeah, he had a rough day. But
he was minus 18 on the court. I bet he was, like, really, really struggling all around.
Big time. And maybe that's better that you don't let it tailspin and he gets an even worse game. But I don't know. It's you can still see the passing. You see the flashes. And, you know, he's another one. He just turned 20 years old, too. So I'm not, like, freaking out about it by any means. But there are some things that are concerning. I mean, if you don't shoot 40% as a point guard, I mean, anybody for that matter, but a point guard specifically, like, you just can't stick in the league. Like, that's how you end up becoming a guy like, I don't know, Trey Burke, and you just play your way out of the league. Unless you're Ricky Rubio, who's so good at everything else that it ends up being okay, which, you know, Lonzo could be. I see the comp for him, and I just had higher hopes for him, and I'm not giving up on that, but I could see him turning into Rubio, where he's just not a good shooter, but he sees all these passes. I don't know if Lonzo can even be the defender he is. I mean, he's certainly the rebounder Rubio is. They're both very good rebounders for point guards, but you don't see the full effort there. Again, he's a rookie. You don't see that, but I don't know. I mean, we talked about him in the summer times. The passing is next level. It's as good as any rookie in this class, unless you count Simmons, but he's from the draft class before, so I'm not. It's interesting for Lakers. I don't know. Walton's doing a lot of weird things. I mean, he's played Brandon Ingram 39 minutes. He played KCP 41 minutes. Barely playing Brook Lopez. I mean, he's playing him 15 minutes. I thought he was actually going to be a really good fit in this offense, and he barely playing. It's kind of bizarre. You get the occasional 30-minute game, but in the last 10, he's had three games on, you know, under 18 minutes, bunch of others in the 20 to 22 range. The rotations are strange right now.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they could have gotten more for D'Angelo Russell, or at least like a young piece or something, since it seems like they want really nothing to do with Lopez like going future.
Lucky for them that pick turned out to be Kuzma, because if they
ended up
with a generic, you know, the normal guy you get with pick 27, where you hope that he's in the rotation, that would have looked pretty ugly. I mean, I get wanting to clear the books with dumping off Mozgov, but that was a high price to pay. I mean, it could work out for them. D'Angelo, he's looked pretty good in Brooklyn. He's hurt at the moment. We'll talk about that later. But
Can I have the management that signed Luol Deng and Mozgov like shot, like, I mean, on the streets?
Can you imagine if they just didn't make those signings? Like,
and
the Knicks is the same way with Noah. Like, these guys aren't even in the rotation. Like, everyone knew the second those contracts they were signed, they were horrible. But yet they managed to find a way to be even worse than everyone expected. Like, I thought, dang, at least we could be in the rotation until maybe the last year of that contract. He's not even playing right now. I don't know if they were. They're not going to get bailed out by an amnesty clause either. And I mean, at this point, you're not going to get anyone to take him if you're not going to play him. You're not going to give up. How many first round picks would you have to give up for someone to take Dang's contract when cap space is so precious around the league right now? There's so few teams with cap space. three firsts. Like, it's to the point where it's not even worth it for the Lakers. It's just, what a horrible end to the Kupchak's run by signing those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot about Dang's whole existence until I saw him complaining or something about not playing the other day. I'm like, bro, I forgot you're even on the squad. And then I'm like, who thought it was a good idea to give this guy 60 mil, or what did they, is that what he got? Like 60 or something, man. Close to that?
I mean, it might have been even more than that, to be honest. But I know
Moskov?
And that was the problem. Like, you give the guy 4 years, like, for what?
And Dank fell off like 5 years ago, man. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was awful, and obviously a big reason why he's gone at this point.
They're just signing people just to sign people at that point.
It was 4 years and 72 million a year, man.
My God. Send that money to charity or something, man. Give that money to Africa or something. I mean, come on, man. Luol Deng getting 72 mil. Mozgov eating fucking lobster tails. Like, that's all he eats now is lobster tails and gold medallions. And I mean, this guy, I mean, are we serious? How did this even happen? NBA money. It's just crazy. I mean, no.
And they signed the funny thing about the Mozgov one is he was signed at like 12:01 a.m. Like the first minute you could sign. Like
they were just like, couldn't wait to get it done.
For people to beat different people, like to get Timofey Mozgov, who struggled in the finals for the Cavs. Like he played well the year before when they had all the injuries, but the year after he basically couldn't play in the finals. He was so bad. Unbelievable. I mean, we might as well talk about Covington's extension now, too, while we're talking about this team using its money very well. I mean, I think they got an absolute steal on this deal. So Covington had a really weird contract situation when they brought him into the league. He's been playing the last few years basically on the minimum. Mm-hmm. And what the Sixers were able to do is, like, it happened with Harden before. Westbrook did it last year before this new extension where you're allowed to renegotiate and extend. So he was making $1.5 million this year. What they're allowed to do is basically rip up that contract, use their current cap space that they have left over to give him a bunch of more money now, and then they sign him for 3 more years on top of this. So they got him for $462 in total. I mean, I think that's a huge steal, to be honest. The guy's a great defender. He's the perfect fit with what they're building there. And he's actually been great in fantasy, too. If you look at Basketball Monster, he ranks as the number 13 player right now because he's shooting 50% from the field. You know, he's making 3.7 threes per game. He's averaging 17.5, 1.5, 1.6 steals, 0.8 blocks. Sure, the field goal percentage is going to come down because he's not going to shoot this well from three all year. But regardless, he's just a perfect fit. And, I mean, if he was a free agent, I think he would be over $20 million for sure. To get him locked up for less because they can give him the more money up front now was a great move.
Yeah, there were some interesting comparisons on ESPN pregame or whatever. So some of the similar contracts were like Alan Crabb, who actually got more money than that. Sure. Tim Hardaway, I mean, Jr. got defense, more money.
Those guys can. That's the thing, you know. I would kind of compare him to maybe like Trevor Ariza, like peak Ariza when he was on the Lakers and then in the Wizards and even like the first year or two in Houston. They're the same type of player, and it's just the way the league is going, and especially the fit in Philly, like I said. I mean, he lets them spread the floor when Simmons has the ball. He can go against the other team's best wing on defense. He's just a great fit, and I love the move.
Yeah, it's a great signing in this day and age, and the money's not bad at all. So that, yeah, it's not a bad. It's a nice contract. Yeah, like
a normal bottom end starter is making $15 million now.
So I mean, we just said Luol Deng got 4 and 72. So I mean, here we go.
Right. I mean, you look at some other guys. You know, Deng, that whole offseason, everything got skewed. Everyone gave out all this money. You look at the last offseason, people didn't get as much money, but. Right. Still, you know, $15 million is penny. It's really nothing in the grand scheme of things for a guy that should stick for a long time. And you know, out of all the random fodder that the Sixers had playing during those tank years, trying to lose. They ended up with one guy in Covington who he's an above average starter at this point in the league, and that's you'd hoped. You know, between all the guys they cycled through, they would have got more than that, but at least they got this one. And, you know, going forward, he's the perfect fit.
Yeah, since we're – I was hit one more guy on these two teams, since he's on the list here of my things to speak about that you sent me. Mm-hmm. Larry Nance, out 3 weeks. I say I like Nance. I thought Nance was a good player. He seemed like a pretty, like, underrated player to me. But now Kuzma's kind of risen up here and taken that job for good, probably. So does Nance better off anyway as kind of just a spark plug off the bench type of dude? I mean, I like his game.
I don't know what their plan is there. I mean, I think they could probably play the two of them next to each other a little bit, just so, you know, if Kuzma played 30 minutes today, if you're keeping there, Nance is backup, so it's 18 minutes. Play them together for, I don't know, 6 minutes a game. At least Nance is in the low 20s then. Yeah, I mean, honestly, last year I thought he was their best big, and I don't know. I've never been a big Randall fan.
Yeah, I got to say, he's done there, right? After this year, he's goner. Yeah, like,
I mean, there's no way. Unless they just whiff on every free agent, there's no way they're going to bring him
like,
back.
He's got a decent skill set. It's just, like, size-wise, he's kind of the tweener. Like, you know, he's not quite tall enough, like he's just not quite athletic enough to be a full blown like one of these bigger dudes like Embiid. He should never be on Embiid in the first place, but I mean he's just getting eaten alive, and it's just like, so he can't really guard those dudes, and he can't really guard small forwards.
Well, it's just too slow in the modern game. Like, I don't know, if Nance is your third big, I think the Lakers are in good shape, so it's finding that other guy to go with Kuzma and him. It's clearly, in Walton's mind, it's not Brook Lopez. I assume it's going to be someone else eventually. You know, maybe Ingram eventually plays some of the four. I don't really know what the plan is, but I still like Nance a decent amount as your, you know, first big off the bench to play in the 20-minute range, like I said before.
Okay.
He's out about 3 weeks with a broken – 3 more weeks from now with a broken hand.
Is it his shooting hand or the other hand?
That's actually a good question. I have no idea. let me see if I find it quick.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No, it's all good. I probably should have thought it before I typed it out. But, yeah, I mean, he's just – I don't know. He's an effort guy. You know, he – I don't know. I always like Nance for some reason.
I really like his game. Seems like a freak athlete, and he's seems like a real hard worker. I think he's definitely got a long future in the league.
Right. I mean, it was on his left hand, so offhand. So, yeah. I mean, he played some small ball five earlier in the year. Occasionally, I don't know. I think again, the Lakers have nothing to lose. They might as well try some minutes with Kuzma and Nance out there together, whichever one you call the four or five, doesn't really matter. And just see how it works. It's good to know. I mean, he's a hustle guy, and you know, it's always nice to have a guy off the bench that you know is going to clean up the glass. I mean, he was averaging almost 8 rebounds a game playing low minutes. It wasn't like he was, you know, playing 30 minutes a game by any stretch. I mean, his overall numbers on the year, he's playing 23 minutes and averaging almost 8 boards. I mean, that's great. And, you know, he shot 61% because he doesn't take bad shots. He doesn't take a lot of shots, but the one, you know, he's efficient when he does. And you know, those guys have value in the league, that's for sure.
Yeah, speaking of value, I wanted to ask you something, Viz. What's up with your boy Yurkabo being entered into the starting lineup for Rudy Gobert, who's out 4 to 6 weeks? First of all, I didn't even know Yurkabo or however you say his name.
Yeah,
I remember
Jonas Yurkabo. Yeah.
I was sick to my stomach watching him with the Celtics, I believe, before. And
well, he won him that playoff game last year, actually.
Wherever he's been. So I'm just confused how he ended up in the Mormon town of Utah, and how he's, most of all, I'm concerned that with him in the starting lineup, you may not be making the playoffs. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I mean, he wouldn't be starting. It's not just Gobert, too. Joe Johnson's out for two more weeks at least. So that's basically why he's starting, because they slid Favors to the five. Yeah, Gobert's out 4 to 6 weeks with a bone bruise. I mean, the play looked kind of dirty. He was on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast today doing an interview, and he is really not happy with Deion Waiters. If you watch the play, he kind of, like, changes directions, like, three times and dives into his knee. Like, it looks pretty bad. Whether it was his intent or not, it was definitely an awkward play. Yeah, I mean, he's the Jazz best player. He's one of the three best defensive players in the league, however you want to order him, Kawhi and Draymond. Like, he's a great player, and it's going to hurt them a lot. I mean, for fantasy purposes, Favors is going to play the center. He played 34 minutes tonight against the Knicks, had 6 points only, but 10 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks. He's still available in about half of leagues.
Really? The
rebounding, yeah, he's at 51.5%. I mean, he's not – the 5 assists are an anomaly, but he should be averaging closer to, I don't know, 15 and 8 with a block at least. He's been better than that in the past, and he finally looks healthy. He had a huge game. The first game they're out, granted, again, it was against the Nets, who are just a dumpster fire at the center position. But he had 24 and 12 in that game with 2 blocks. Against the Timberwolves the game before, he had 9 and 10 with a block and a steal, 6-10, 5-1, and 3 blocks tonight against the Knicks. So, I mean, I would own him everywhere, to be, or at least in, you know, in a 10-team league or anything deeper, I would grab him. Offensively, it just puts more of the burden on Hood and Mitchell. Mitchell's, you know, he's coming on, played 36 minutes in the game tonight at 19 points. He's averaging over almost exactly 15 points a game now. The steal rate is coming up. Threes are coming up. He's a lead from the line. Like,
Hood went super Hood tonight.
Yeah, Rodney Hood. Yeah, he's been coming off the bench, and
he dropped a 30, Bo.
Yeah, for some reason, he's just been awful in first quarters this year. He's shooting like 25%. It's something that would fix itself, but for whatever reason, they decided to bring him off the bench lately, and he's getting the big minutes anyway. He dropped a 30 ball, like you said, 6 threes. He's not going to give you much outside of 3-pointers and points, really. He's a low rebound, low assist guy, but you know, everyone needs their threes at the bottom of the roster, and he should definitely be owned. You know, Rubio, he's been playing pretty poor the last couple of weeks, or at least the last week specifically.
It's nice to see him back in double digits.
What's that?
Said it's nice to see him back in double digits tonight. He's been struggling mightily with the shot lately. Yeah, after they made such a big deal about his improvements, then all of a sudden it went back to, like, worse than ever. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, there was talk of them, like, potentially not starting him. But they got to start him. I mean, there's no alternative, really. They didn't even play a real backup point guard today. Donovan Mitchell is basically the de facto backup point guard. Or Alec Burks, when he played, he ended up playing 22 minutes, but they didn't play a pure point guard when Rubio wasn't out there. And they don't need to. I mean, between Mitchell, Joe Ingles is a great ball mover, Burks, it's really unnecessary. So, yeah, it's an awful situation for them. I mean, they're probably going to get buried over the next month, and I don't know if they'll be able to overcome it.
Dante Exum, one of the saddest stories to me of the offseason.
He's so talented. It's sad. I saw him play a summer league game. He only played one game because he was so good that they didn't want him to even bother anymore.
I was telling people that all last year. I'm like, dude, this guy still has superstar talent. Like, people are thinking, you know, he isn't garbage. But you can just tell, if you have any kind of eye for talent at all, you can tell that he's still, like, he's got freakish talent, and I'm just really upset.
I mean, he was already a borderline elite defender as a rookie, and, you know, they were struggling to give him minutes because offensively he was a zero at that point, but you could see the signs, and his first step is just so good, and it just sucks so much that he's out. They haven't officially ruled him out for the year. He has no timetable with the shoulder injury. I just hope he can get back and play some at the end of this year, at least. His off, like, I don't know what they even do with him contract wise because his contract's up. Does he take a qualifying offer? If the Jazz offered him 4 years, $32 million, does he turn it down? Because that's the kind of deal, if I was Utah, I would take the chance on. You know, maybe it doesn't pan out, but $8 million is not going to kill your books, and you want to end up getting an elite player for dirt cheap. You could see him and Mitchell being the backcourt of the future. That's what sucks. Like, I thought they were going to run out some really fun second units playing super fast with those two at the guards, and we're seeing the signs from Mitchell. Mitchell's another one. He's only 29% owned right now. He should be owned in any 10 or any 12-man league without hesitation. So, you know, the Gobert injury opens things up specifically for Favors, but, I mean, obviously, if you own Gobert, I'd try to grab Favors, and if he's gone, it's going to be very difficult for you to replace the blocks and the field goal percentage that he gives you.
Yeah, so let's move on from Utah. It's a sad story. We all see it. They're 6-9, 0-5 on the road. I don't want to talk about it too much, upset you. So let's move on to a player I really like, and for fantasy purposes, could be a monster, although he's coming off the injury, but could be a monster based on the team he's on, since there's such a steaming pile of hot garbage, the Chicago Bulls, and Zach LaVine. Is he back? Is he back in December, like early December, or what are we talking about?
They said he's starting to practice, or he's supposed to start practicing very soon. They said in the near future he's been cleared, should be this week at some point. I guess within 2 to 3 weeks, if all goes well, so that'll be early December. I mean, Chicago is so devoid of offensive talent outside of marketing that he could come in and, you figure by January he's playing a decent amount of minutes to the point where he should get back to averaging 20 a game because he's just going to have crazy volume on that team.
Yeah, I saw Dunn was back in the line. I almost started Dunn in DFS tonight. By the way, I just realized I've been in California the last 3 weeks or so, and I just realized DFS was legal here, which is probably not good for my bank account. And I was like, oh, shit, I could be playing DFS this whole time. So I've been back in the NBA DFS action, and I was tempted to go with Dunn. And this fool went 1-for-11 tonight, 3 points. He got start.
He's going to last in the league just because he's already, like, an elite defender. But, my God, is he awful offensively.
Jesus. I mean, this guy, all I can remember is last year at the draft, just the hype on this guy, people just loving him. Now he's almost like a complete afterthought at this point. It's sad when that occurs. But, yeah, they got Poindexter in there at shooting guard. I mean, come on. LaVine is going to come in here and put up, like, 30 shots a game. I mean, this is
you look at this box score, and it's from tonight's game against the Thunder. It's crazy. Like, they played somebody named Antonio Blakeney for 26 minutes.
He was their leading scorer, tied for the least.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, the one good thing for Chicago is Markkanen looks like he's a very good offensive player, and I wasn't even sure that was going to be the case when they took him with the 7th pick, but there is some hope there at least. But, I mean, how many point guards have they fucking gone through since Rose got hurt? I mean, Jerry, Grant, and Don, and they traded up. They gave up a decent pick to get Cameron Payne. The dude can't even play at all.
That's what I'm saying. Where's my boy Payne? He's just that bad, dude. God. Dude,
they get all these guys who just can't shoot. Like, I just don't understand. I mean, that team is just horrible in every sense.
Yeah, that's an awful situation. So, but yeah, when LaVine does come back for them, he's a must. LaVine could
put up numbers. I think it'll be pretty similar to what Devin Booker's done in Phoenix, actually, where he's just going to have insane shot volume. And LaVine actually shot a really good percentage last year. Obviously, it's going to drop off if he has this ridiculous volume we're talking about. But he shouldn't be a negative on you there. He's going to give you big points. Threes, and I mean, might not be much else, but again, you need your threes, and he should be owned. I mean, you look at he's still owning half leagues, actually. So, obviously, if your league doesn't have IR spots, there's no reason to hold him for the next 3 weeks and eating the zero on your bench. But if you have IR spots and he happens to still be available, pick him up, throw him in the IR spot, and stash him and hope he comes back and can help your team.
Stash and smash. Let's move on to another situation I'm extremely interested in because it was a weird thing to begin with the Chris Paul going to Houston, him having the kind of banged up knee, him playing that first game, then sitting him like in crunch time, and then just all of a sudden being like, oh, we're going to sit him for a month. I was like, huh? Like, what the hell's going on? Like, if you already had, why didn't you sit him in the first place? But in my opinion, he needs to buy into kind of what they're doing there. Like, I want to see him kind of chucking up more threes. Like, I want to see him actually just gunning. Like, I know he's never done it before. He can still pass and still do all that, but I feel like he's going to have to just buy into what they do and just shoot more, even when it seems like it might not be what he wants to do. But he's got a nice stroke. Like, can you see him actually doing that, or is it just so ingrained in him to be that point guard?
Right. I mean, yeah, he's a really good catch-and-shoot player, but you never really see him do it. And, I mean, we talked about it in the preseason when Sun was on. Like, he just was so certain that CP3 is going to demand the ball at endgame. And, you know, maybe that's the case. We don't really know yet. He hasn't played for them. Yeah, he's supposed to be back Thursday night, play about 20 minutes. They look good without him. I mean, they've run out some really unique lineups. You know, PJ Tucker at center, Mbah Mute. If they're going against a team with an elite wing, they throw him out there for his defensive value. Capella's been outstanding.
But they're not good enough to beat the Warriors. So, like, is Chris Paul going to help them do that?
I don't know. They probably have the best chance to out of anybody, though. I think their upside's high enough. You know, if the Thunder didn't trade for Carmelo, I would say they would have the best chance, only because they can run out these crazy defensive lineups that would, like, they could shut down anybody. Like, we could talk about them next because Steven Adams is out.
Yeah,
what they're doing, but yeah, I still think Houston has the upside. I mean, I obviously wouldn't pick them. But I think they probably have the best chance because if they could somehow make it work between Harden and Paul, PJ Tucker is a pretty good match. Like, you're not going to have anyone that can really shut down Durant or anything. But between him and Mbah Mute, they could give him a few different looks. They have a bunch of really good pieces. Whether it can work out, I mean, obviously – everyone's a massive underdog to Golden State, but get Paul back in your lineup. I'm trying to think, who is this going to cost minutes for, you know, him returning for Houston? I mean, they're playing Phoenix Thursday, so, I mean, they're a joke, too.
Bobby Brown.
Looking at their box score from against Toronto the other day, I mean, Bobby Brown only played 1 minute. They basically only played eight guys. They played Harden 39 minutes, Ariza 37, Gordon 33, Capella 28, Anderson 31, Tarik Black 17, Mbah Mute 31, and Tucker 16. So I guess they were playing Gordon at point guard when Harden was off the court. I don't even know what the hell they were doing. I don't know who. I mean,
I was thinking it would affect Gordon's minutes a little bit, but probably not a ton since he's basically been their second best player. No. And
yeah, he'll be in the 30-minute range, I think, pretty safely going forward. Looking against Indiana the game before that, just in case it was some matchup thing. But no, it was the same eight guys playing big minutes. I mean, I guess you could see maybe Ryan Anderson takes a downtick because they play Mbah Mute or Tucker at power forward for some stretches to have better defense. It's something to keep an eye on for sure because Anderson's fringy in fantasy anyway. Capella, obviously, his minutes aren't going to get touched, but maybe Tarik Black goes out of the rotation completely. It's just something to keep an eye on. And obviously, judging it off Thursday alone isn't really going to serve much purpose because Phoenix just does goofy shit. They're just all over the place with Jay Triano as their coach now, and see how they look at Memphis Saturday. Then they play Denver early next week. That'll be a better judge of what Houston's doing going forward.
Yeah, I'm curious to see it. I want to see it work out for them, but I'm not. I don't know. The Paul thing was weird. But let's move to, as you said, you want to talk about the Thunder. Steven Adams missed Wednesday's game with a calf injury. Any idea what his status is like going forward, and what do you think about the Thunder right now?
I don't think it's too serious, but look, I mean, have you ever heard of the guy who started in his place? His name is Dakari Johnson.
That's my boy Dakari. Kentucky, I mean, right?
Kentucky, yeah, but he's
terrible.
I really like they're playing Jeremy Grant at center, and his length is great. Like, they can run out some ridiculous lineups between.
He's been good.
If they have Westbrook, George, Roberson, Grant, and whoever, really. I mean, they can lock down, I mean, anyone, especially if they had Adams back. Those are five elite defenders. They can lock down basically anyone. But impact fantasy-wise, I mean, Grant had 15 and 11 playing 34 minutes. I could see him being a nice DFS play in the short term while Adams is out. I mean, the game before, he had 10 and 8 with three assists, a steal, and a block. He's hitting all the categories. He's a solid streamer in 12 man leagues in the short term, and I think he's a pretty good DFS play.
Yeah, I like him. What are you thinking about the Thunder as a whole? I mean, they're 7-7 right now. They've been decent at home, but terrible on the road. But it's like, I mean, I don't know, man. I've always been a Melo detractor for the longest time. His fanboys used to just come at me on Twitter like for disrespecting him. I'm like, dude, what are you not seeing here? And it seems like the general public is kind of, one, he's not as good even as he was then, and two, it seems like the general public is kind of finally starting to realize that, takes a lot of just stupid shots.
I thought him coming in, like, I know they didn't give up much for him at all, but I thought it lowered their potential ceiling, because I really loved the potential of these crazy defensive lineups they could have thrown out there. I mean, the good thing for them is Russell Westbrook shooting 65% from the line. That's clearly not going to last. Patrick Patterson starting to round into shape. Even Josh Eustace is giving him some okay minutes. So,
God, I remember when they drafted him like years ago and sent him to...
Yeah, the D-League. Yeah, they drafted him solely to Cecil.
For send years.
Him. What a bizarre situation.
It's just a weird pick.
I mean, I like a decent amount of their pieces. Abrines looks good out there in general. Raymond Felton gives them competent backup point guard play. I mean, that killed them last year between Payne and then Samaje Christian. I mean, that was as bad as it can get, you know. So I like them, but I would probably put them fourth in the totem pole in the West if Kawhi was healthy behind the Spurs and the Rockets.
Yeah, and speaking of that, what is going on? I mean, before in the preseason, I had no idea Kawhi was hurt to this extent. Like, did anybody? Is this just lingering? Like, what the hell is going on?
It's killing me in my big fantasy league. We do one league. It's like year seven now. We do keeper leagues. We do all four sports, and then like best aggregate finish. Well, I got two of my keepers. Well, Kawhi and Gobert, and Kawhi specifically. Uh-oh. I mean, it's just killing me. And there's no update at all. I'm glad I went to Vegas a week. The week I did, because if I went a week earlier, I would have bet him to win MVP, and I might as well have ripped up the ticket at this point, because he's already missed enough games. It's not going to happen. Who knows when he's even going to be back in? I mean, obviously, Rudy Gay has played well in the meantime, but Kawhi's one of the best five players in the league, conservatively. It's hard to say, man. The quads are a bad thing to be dealing with, and I really had a loss for words, because I would just be guessing. We have no idea when he's going to be back, when he's going to be practicing. I mean, they rule him out the first game of the year, and
yeah, it's really odd.
It didn't seem like super serious, but right. We're going on a month into the year now, and there's no return in sight at all.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I kept being like, okay, he's going to play the next guy. He's going to be playing shortly. And it's just like, they won't, they're just releasing no kind of info, and I'm like, guys, can I get something out of you? And it was nice to see the Timberwolves actually beat the Spurs, because they can't seem to beat any of these other major teams. So that's nice. That's, I mean, because the Spurs have been surprisingly beating these, I guess lately they've kind of been struggling a little bit more lately, which makes sense, because, I mean, without Leonard, this team is definitely not
like an elite team. I mean, they'll beat people in the regular season just because they play at least their B game every game out there. They don't give anything away. The system, you know, is great. I mean, Aldridge is playing very well, which isn't a complete shock. I think the hate for him probably went a bit too far, but imagine what it would be if they weren't getting anything from Rudy Gay. I mean, the guy's coming off a torn Achilles. It was hard to really count on him, and he's playing very well for his 22 minutes a night. DeJounte Murray's showing signs. Even slow-mo, Kyle Anderson's playing fine. Petty Mills, like, they're getting decent contributions from guys at least. But, I mean, obviously, if they got in a playoff series, they're stone dead without Kawhi. I mean, obviously, no one's expecting him to be out that long. But it's getting frustrating. I mean, like I said, it's been a month, and we have no idea when the hell he's going to be back.
Yeah, one of the weirdest situations. And when
he
does come back,
is he open a re-injury? Is he going to sit out games? It's rough.
Yeah. Speaking of rough injuries and Achilles injuries, which hits close to home for me, because Richard Sherman, a Seahawks cornerback from Seattle, as you may or may not know, but it's like he knew his Achilles was injured. He played on it anyway. It popped eventually. Conley, Memphis Grizzly, he's got an Achilles injury. He missed Wednesday's game, but, like, is he going to keep playing through this? Is it a good idea, bad idea? I don't want to say pop.
I can't imagine it's a good idea. I mean, they said it's been sore for most of the year. I mean, the Grizzlies are only okay because him and Gasol are so good. If they miss any extended time, like Utah, they would just be dead. So who's going to get the minutes boost in the meantime? Tyreke Evans is playing quite a bit, actually. Playing very well. I mean,
that's the best he's played in years, is it not? Like, maybe ever?
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe ever, honestly. Because, I mean, when he was good in Sacramento, it wasn't like
they were garbage team to winning
basketball. I mean, is it fluky to an extent? I mean, he's not going to shoot 45% from three like he is right now. He's not that good of a three-point shooter, but averaging 18.5 points in 27 minutes, not turning over that much, just hitting all the categories. He's been great. And Mario Chalmers, even, you know, his shot's been off at the moment, but I think that'll fix itself. So in the short term,
come back. It's Rio, baby. Just happy to have him back in the league.
Yeah, seriously. I missed him. He blew out his Achilles, and you know, he was playing very well for Memphis before he got hurt, so hopefully he can get back close to previous levels. And yeah, he gets a nice short-term boost, that, you know, no doubt about it.
Yeah, another guy I've kind of like have always been a fan of, really liked, thought it was a great signing for the Clippers, is Gallinari. So he's missed four games with his glutes. What's going on with his glutes? Have you seen it? Have you seen them? What's going on with it? Like, and plus, even when he has been healthy, he hasn't been as good, at least
he's been pretty poor so far. I mean,
I've
been a big fan too. He gets to the line at such a high level and shoots so well from the line that he's always a very efficient offensive player. Yeah, he's struggled to this point. I don't even know how they're replacing him. I guess Lou Williams is playing a bit more. Austin Rivers too. Hopefully he's back sooner than later. I haven't really seen an update either way, but between Tatum's just going down.
Yeah, what's his injury status? Was it bad? I mean, he's been out the whole year. Yeah, is he done?
Yeah, he's screwed, pretty sure. Okay. Double checking now, but I don't think he's going to be back anytime soon. The plantar fascia in his foot.
It's kind of intrigued with watching him play. So. Yeah. Yeah, I was looking forward to him playing, and now all of a sudden we're back to the Austin Rivers show, and I'm like, man.
He's one of the funnest guys to watch, Tatum. It's just passing is just absurd. But, yeah, they're another team, man. They have a lot of injury-prone guys, and
yeah.
You know, Gallo's a guy who has missed 15, 20 games on the reg. they gotta hope he's back because they don't have anyone else on the wing. They haven't had a good wing player in so long. They finally get one, and he's hurt. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, what's going to, speaking of Mr. Glass and injuries, what's going to, D. Rose is now missing time. I mean, I thought he came back from the ankle injury already and then had a pretty good game and then had a decent game or two, and then is it the same ankle? I mean, what's going on with this?
I don't know, but granted, they haven't played that many good teams, but I think it's probably helped him a decent amount that he's been hurt, to be honest, because
they just think they're just better without him?
Probably. I mean, he's been playing 26 minutes a game, and he kills their spacing, and he's not really trying on defense. So where does that leave you? I mean,
yeah, Shumpert played 34 minutes. At least Shumpert tries to play D. I'll give him that. But yeah, his shot is just not. Shumpert's always kind of bothered me. Fantasy-wise, it really
doesn't open anything up. I mean, like you said, Shumpert's playing a decent amount. He could be a decent steals guy at least. He could push two steals a game if he gets 33 minutes a game like he's getting. He's not going to be great anywhere else. I mean, he'll get you decent assists, but, I mean, we're talking maybe four or five a game, best case.
Max,
if he plays that many minutes, probably 1-3 a game. Okay, boards, probably below average point. It's not great, but it's an option at least in the short term. Maybe a decent DFS play depending on the matchup.
So you think when Isaiah Thomas comes back, you think does Derrick Rose just get totally wiped out of the rotation? Like I could see him sitting at the end of the bit, like not even getting in the game once it comes
he probably should. I don't know if he will completely, but yeah.
Because I mean, they got to get Shumpert, Smith. I mean, they got to get minutes for Wade, Korver, Shumpert, Smith, Isaiah Thomas. So it's like, where does Rose fit in there?
Lineups with LeBron is the de facto point guard, too. I could definitely see Rose being pushed out of the rotation.
Yeah, that would be interesting, sad, a lot of different
it sucks.
Adjectives
I mean, sure,
we can use.
Probably didn't deserve to win the MVP. He did, but the fact that he was even in that discussion just shows you the caliber of player that he was before the injuries. And
real good. Freak nasty. I thought he was even more athletic than Russell Westbrook for a minute. Like, I mean, they were like, those two were on a whole nother level. Like, he was like that freaky, dude. And I mean, to see like what he's become is like crushes me. But I've never a huge fan of him. I always thought he was kind of a weird dude and I didn't really like his personality. But yeah, as far as like a gamer, yeah, like he was a full blown baller. One more guy we could touch on, I guess maybe there's one or two real quickly, but Gary Harris, Denver Nuggets, he's missed a couple games, scheduled to come back Friday. Whose minutes is he going to eat into? Jamal Murray finally blew up the other day with a 30-point game after just being atrocious. Moutier had a couple big games out of nowhere. I mean, he's played has been much better this year overall, I think, than he was last year. So, I mean, who is Gary Harris? What is Gary Harris's max? Anyway, I mean, to me, he seems like a kind of a, who's a comparison for me? Like an Aflalo. Like, can he be better than him? Like, will he ever be better than like a 15-point scorer? I mean, I'm just like,
I would probably compare him more to like Avery Bradley, to be honest. He doesn't have quite that level of on ball D, but I think the games are pretty similar in general. I think, well, from a fantasy perspective, obviously getting back in your lineup and I think it's going to be Will Barton's minutes that go down a bit. I mean, Barton's been playing like 37 minutes a game.
He's been playing
very well, too. But
I really like
you're
Barton.
You're going to see him more down in the 28-minute range. Let me take a look at a couple of the Denver box scores to see who else has been playing bigger minutes.
Denver has so many interesting players. It's like if it could all really go. Like, I mean, I really like Barton. I really like Chandler, although I don't think he's been as good this year as he was.
Yeah, he surprisingly struggled. I mean, like Richard Jefferson played 10 minutes. Those minutes are going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. But, I mean, obviously Harris is a glue guy. I mean, you can figure at the end of games, Millsap, Harris, and Jokic are guaranteed to be out there. The other two guys are a bit up in the air. I mean, I'd say Murray is fairly close to a lock. Like you said, he's been playing a lot better, but you know, I watched him in that Portland game. Plays 39 minutes. He's almost like the de facto point guard. I mean, I get Jokic has the ball up, but he had zero assists 39 minutes with six turnovers. I mean, that's just awful.
So, yeah, and you're technically listed as the point guard. Like, that shouldn't even be humanly possible.
Yeah, anyone out there should get, I mean, even Hassan Whiteside gets one assist a game almost.
I mean, it's an interesting team. Malik Beasley, first-round pick, looks like a total brick. I'm not seeing anything there.
It's tough because he's
not really any room for minutes.
Saw flashes at the end of last year, but he doesn't play. Like, they almost have too many guys to give minutes.
Yeah.
That one year they had three first-round picks in the draft between Beasley, Wancho, and shit, I'm blanking on the other one. I'm going to try to find it quick. But
Yurik?
It's almost too many guys to give minutes to. And you see, like, they played 11 guys tonight, and not all of them got a lot of minutes. But the fact
tell me this move, because I thought this move was trash at the time when they gave up Nurkic for Plumlee, and they gave up a first rounder in the deal, and then they extended Plumlee, right? And now he's just sitting here like he played 6 minutes the other day.
Yeah,
didn't they extend him to something?
Did they just pay? Like when they first traded for Plumlee, they were like playing him next to Jokic. Like, how the hell was that ever gonna work? I always thought Plumlee was very overrated. He's not a good rim protector. Sure, he gets decent assists because for a big guy, but he's just
Didn't they just pay him?
Like, I get that Nurkic was a malcontent there, and you know he kind of checked out. But
and they gave a first.
It's crazy. Right. I just don't understand. Murray was the other guy in that draft too. It was Murray, Wancho, and Beasley in the same draft. But
and then they paid him.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like,
why?
To play what? 10 minutes a game?
15? I mean, is he gonna get Fareed's minutes? Because obviously this is coming to an end. I mean, what did they miss their chance to trade Fareed for any value?
I mean, maybe they could get someone to take Fareed out, but no one's taking Plumlee.
Right.
He got $41 million. He can't play power forward.
I mean, it kind of ruined, like, for me, like, all the cool shit that they were doing, like, last year, like, with Jokic, and Murray was balling last year, and I loved Chandler and Barton, these kind of versatile players everywhere. And the Millsap signing
was great, too.
Because guaranteed
years, if he falls off next year.
But when they made the Plumlee trade, I was just kind of like, it hurt my heart. Like, I was like, wait a second. We were doing so many cool things, and why did you do this?
But because Jokic was a second-round pick, they're in a really weird situation. So the team has a club option for 2018-19 for $1.6 million. He's only making $1.47 million this year, right? Nuts. But if they exercise that option for $1.6 million, he becomes unrestricted hereafter already, even though he's only going to be 24 years old. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if they decline his option, let him become restricted, and then give him the max for 4 years.
Right.
Instead, is like, you know, just tell him, we're only declining this so we can lock you up kind of thing. That's probably what I would do. You can't risk him leaving after a year. I mean, sure, it would be amazing to only have to pay him $1.6 million next year. But,
right.
I mean, he's your franchise player at this point.
You got to make him happy, especially out there in Denver, which never seems to be able to keep a superstar happy over there. For whatever reason, they don't like the city. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's become cool. I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time there. But seems like a cool city, but it doesn't seem like a poppin' NBA city. Melo, obviously, we know his story. Anyway, enough about Melo. I don't want to talk about him. It makes me sick. What else is going on? Anybody else you want to talk about? Gorgui Dieng?
Yeah, I mean, that was another horrible contract. They're stuck with him. I don't get it. I mean, Taj Gibson gets a boost in the short term. He's going to give you good rebounding, okay blocks, nothing great. It doesn't really help anyone specifically. Yeah, I hated that move the second they signed him because don't play two bigs, man. Play Towns at center. I know the defense is horrible and it's frustrating me, but offensively they'd be unstoppable. Yeah, Tibbs just wants to play two bigs. I don't get it.
Is Tibbs overrated at this point? I mean, I'm waiting for the.
I can't decide. Like, if Wiggins and Towns aren't going to get better on D with Tibbs. Are they ever going to get better? But maybe Tibbs lost it. I don't know. It's tough to judge them because Butler hasn't played a lot. It's a work in progress. I'm still waiting to see on the Timberwolves. I mean, for our preseason picks on Razzball, I picked them to be the most disappointing team. It's because people were thinking they were going to get to 50-plus wins, and it's just tough to make that kind of jump, and I wasn't buying in to that level yet. I mean, they've been fine at this point. They are 9-5, so they're playing at that kind of pace, but I still have my doubts about how this team's going to do because their depth is just bad. Like, if they got an injury to anybody, they're in trouble. I mean, Tyus Jones is a competent backup point guard, but you get past that, I mean, Shabazz Muhammad.
What happened to Muhammad, man? Wasn't Muhammad showing some flashes like 2 years ago? Like he was looking like a real nice scorer off the bench. It seems like he's regressed in a major way to me. Like, what's happening?
Apparently he's just going by Baz now. Like it's gonna change things.
Oh, okay, I feel it. Okay, yeah.
I thought he was always gonna become an okay scorer. I mean, he was the number one recruit, going to college and going to UCLA. It was kind of crazy. He fell farther in the draft people thought, and it was apparently justified because, I don't know how much longer is he going to be in the league.
All right, last player, D'Angelo, snitch, Ratatouille, out several games with knee injury. You know, I like this because it makes it more interesting for me in my squad, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Will they get a higher pick next year? Will they get the number one pick? Will they get a 2-3 pick? What's it going to be? So I root for the Nets to lose every game, so I want D'Angelo out of there. But he's been pretty useful fantasy-wise, has he not?
Yeah, he's been pretty good overall. He was showing signs, and that's the important thing. I mean, this is the last year for, the Nets to not have their pick, and he was averaging 21 points a game on pretty good shooting. I mean, he was the kind of player they had to acquire and try to shoot the moon and give yourself a potential superstar. And I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be a superstar by any means, but you can see the flashes. At least the best thing they did was to get him out of there. Or the best thing for him was to leave the Lakers, really. Here's to hoping he's back sooner or later because it's a lost year for them. You got to find out how he works with LeVert, any of the other couple young guys. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson's been really good, which is a nice bonus for them. In the short term, Spencer Dinwiddie's been starting. If you need assists, he's going to give them to you. I mean, he played 34 minutes last game at 11 assists. That's not going to be the norm, but he could give you 5 to 6 assists. So, decent DFS play as well. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Russell? I mean, going just in general, or how he's looked when you've seen them. I don't know if you've seen Brooklyn at all.
I've only seen him play a couple times. Quite honestly, I mean, he's a talented player. Obviously, again, that's the Lakers, another team that passed on Porzingis, regretting that probably quite a bit now for D'Angelo. But yeah, he'll be in the league for a long time. I mean, it's like the question becomes, like, is he going to be good enough to get like a monster deal or what? I mean, is somebody going to want, is it going to be with the Nets? Like, is he going to be his home there?
I mean, the numbers look crazy because their pace is like all time high. They're playing so fast. It's crazy. But I mean, they average 21-5-6 almost playing 27 minutes is nuts. Being 4 turnovers a game is awful. And you hope that fixes itself eventually, but there is some hope, at least, for Brooklyn. He gives them a chance to be a star. And
yeah, I love that move for them. Yeah, it's totally worth it for them to make that move. I mean, they just had nothing there, so at least gives them somebody exciting with the possibility of being a star. I mean, it's definitely an all-star talent if he can kind of harness it in.
Now that Porzingis broke out, you're looking at Chicago and Atlanta are probably worse than them in the East. And then, I mean, Dallas has been really bad. But they started really bad last year, too. I would put Brooklyn in a tier with them, Sacramento. So you're looking around the 3 to 5 spot, I think, going into the lottery, and then who knows from there. Obviously, they could win. They could fall as far down as, you know, 7 or 8. I would probably peg them right around the 3 to 5 range right now would be my guess. And, I mean, there's no way in hell Cleveland can consider trading that pick unless LeBron tells you he's staying. There's right. No way.
Okay. Last thing, and then I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, me too. Is
Narlidz Noel. He turned down the 4-year, $70 million deal.
Oh, my God.
Now he can't get on the court. Is somebody going to pull a Mozgov and give him a 4-year, $70 million year or $70 million contract next year?
I mean, I still like him as a player in general. The upside's there, but one, no one really has the cap space to give it to him. And two, right. Like, if he's not playing, where's the market even going to be? Like, would I consider offering him 1 year, $15 million, just to bring him in if I had the cap space? Sure, and see what you got, but I can't see any long-term commitment to him unless it's at a bargain price. And, yeah, I mean, whoever told him to turn that deal down is out of their mind.
Yeah, I think he actually fired his agent, worked out that deal, and I think he actually fired his agent. Right. He's like, yeah, that's not good enough, man. I deserve more than that. Now I can't even get on the court.
Yeah, I mean, and that's crazy because Dallas is like,
right. It makes it even crazier. And he said, and when he has played, and last year when he played, and when he played a lot of minutes, it seems like he puts up some pretty decent stats. But I mean, I read an interesting article on it the other day, and it was, you know, just saying basically since he's on this 1 year deal and they're so bad, they're more the coach, Carlisle's old school ass, is more concerned with like trying to develop guys he knows are going to be there. That was his excuse, right? Anyway, or that's what their excuse was.
I don't know. It's.
Which isn't good enough.
Situation for him. Even if he was playing 20, 25 minutes, you could see him getting at least 10 to 12 million a year from somebody. And yeah, it would cost him a lot of money, but it still would be life changing amount of money that he's going to get now. Right. I mean, who's going to give him 10 million a year? It's hard. I mean, who knows? We're 15 games into the year for them. There's still 80% of the season left, so things could change, but it's hard to think of a worse scenario. Yeah, even if he got hurt, I feel like it would be better than him not playing at all for his potential next contract.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, but on the sad, sad note of Narlidz Noel, let's call it a night. We pulled a late one. Was yeah, all good. I mean, a lot to talk about.
This will probably go up Thursday at some point, but we started this around 1 a.m. Eastern Wednesday and Thursday. So late night, but you know, we got to get some content out for you guys. So all depends next week. I don't know. We'll try to figure something out with Thanksgiving and everything. At the latest, we'll be back in 2 weeks, but hopefully we can, even if we get a short one out next week, we'll figure that out. But anything you want us to talk about, go to the comment section at basketball.rasball.com on this post. Let us know what you like, what we're doing, what you don't like, what topics you want us to talk about, any of that stuff. And we'll be sure to probably do it. We'll consider it, but more than likely, unless it's something outlandish, we'll do it for you.
All right.
If you or anyone you know wants to sponsor the podcast, let us know there too, and I'll get in contact with you, all that good stuff. Like I said, the hockey podcast is going at least once a week with myself and Reed. Football one's going now with Matt, Zach, and Reed every week for your scouting everything for the week. They're breaking down every game for you to let you know who to target, DFS, who to start on the fringe in your season-long leagues, all that good stuff. Razzball started a baseball place, and at this point, baseball.
Look at us now.
For the next little bit, at least until, free agency starts and everything. But everything else is built up around it now on Razzball. It's not just a one sports site, and plenty of good content out there for whatever you're looking for.
Well said. Well fucking said. And on that note,
we'll be back soon. We'll take it easy. Take it easy, Tail.
All right, buddy.